I am so pleased. I got to tell you, I am so pleased to look at you via Zoom and see you are wearing a plaid. Well, I guess you would call it plaid. It's not technically a plaid. It's a checker. Not
technically a plaid. Yes, it's technically a checker. But I kind of lump them all in together for convenience sake.
For those of you who cannot see this because you're listening to an audio podcast, I'm looking at a gentleman who is wearing a purple with lavender striping. It's a check pattern.
It's a lot.
Not only in the suit coat, but in his shirt as well. My God, you are a Technicolor test pattern, Jay Bear.
You got to stay on brand, baby.
That's what I want to talk to you about, because here on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, we talk all about nonfiction branding, which is my term for what I call being completely true, completely you in creating and projecting and building a personal brand. And one of the strongest visual personal branders I can think of in the whole wide world is my guest today, and his name is Jay Bear. And let me just get one thing out of the way right away. It's not B-E-A-R, it's B-A-E-R. And Jay is someone you definitely want to follow, and you're going to find out why right now. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you very much for having me, DP. Things are pretty good. It's weird, right? So I used to spend at least half my time traveling around giving presentations and such. And obviously I'm not doing a lot of that now. The longest I had been home consecutively since 2003 was 22 days. And now we are approaching 2 days from now, it'll be 90 days. So it is a different world. It is the next normal for me and for my wife, who is certainly not used to having me around every single day. My pets are quizzical. Everybody is confused, but actually it's been okay. I like doing webinars and podcasts and client work without wearing pants. It's all good.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know Jay or have never run across him in your travels or at events, or, you know, he speaks all over the place, all the flipping time. He's got a couple of letters that follow his name whenever I see it, you know, up on a poster or anything like that. And it's CSP-CPAE. What do those acronyms stand for?
They are bestowed upon me and others by the National Speakers Association, which is the professional association for paid professional speakers. CSP stands for Certified Speaking Professional, which is sort of a competency and experience designation. This is sort of an approximation, but essentially you have to do 40 or 50 paid presentations a year for 5 years in a row. Then they actually go, and you have to have sort of made a certain amount of money, and then they actually go and interview a bunch of your clients and say, hey, was this guy any good? And they look at all your video evidence and things like that. And then if the association and its investigatory body believe that you meet a certain criteria, they will give you your CSP. The CPAE is the Council of Peers Award of Excellence. It is better known colloquially as the Professional Speaking Hall of Fame. There are 191 living members of the Hall of Fame, and I'm delighted to be among them. Lots of my peers in that body are truly legendary speakers, and I am certainly not at their level, but am delighted to have been given the designation.
I've seen you speak a couple of times, and I can attest you're a certified speaking professional for sure.
Thank you.
And not only that, you're a huge thought leader with a couple of books. Well, actually 6 books out, I believe.
Yeah.
And the current one that's probably the hottest off the press is Talk Triggers, which you wrote with Daniel Lemon.
Yes.
And I saw you speak about that at Social Media Marketing World last year. And I don't know if you did this year or I can't remember.
I was there this year, but I did a different talk.
Yeah. Okay. And any of your books, I think, are excellent. I would recommend to anybody who's listening. And again, that's Jay Bear, B-A-E-R. And his current book is Talk Triggers. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a while. But first, I want to talk to you about something you may not even recall. And that is, I think you were on the Andrew and Pete Show podcast.
I was.
And I think one of the questions, and I listened to all of them, and you know, you've got people like Ann Hanley on there, and you know, Jay Espinzo, and just a whole list of really kind of superstars in the social media digital marketing area. And they asked some really good questions. And one of the ones, the question was pretty simple: what do you wish you did earlier or better? And your answer kind of slapped me across the face in a meaningful way. Do you remember what it was?
I don't. I have an inkling, but I actually don't know.
Okay. It was, I wish I worked on my own stuff earlier. And that was in reference to, I think, and I want to test this out with you, the fact that you started your kind of brand building-ness in this space with a name in front of you called Convince and Convert, which is still very active, and we can talk about that. But what I've seen, especially over the past couple of years, is you're stepping way out from behind that Convince and Convert brand and stepping forward with the J. Bear brand in a huge way. Am I seeing things, or is that actually a strategic move on your part?
A little bit of both. I mean, there's been a Convince and Convert brand for 12 years. There's been a J. Bear brand, and I had my own J. Bear website for probably 8 of those years. So there was a period, you're not wrong, there was a period where there wasn't a separate brand for me. And that was intentional because as somebody who's been in professional services almost my whole life, I never wanted it to be J. Bear and Associates or whatever, because that becomes a very difficult organization to sell. And it also sets up a situation where every single client thinks that you're going to work on every single project, neither of which are true or possible when you grow a little bit. So I never wanted the company to be sort of J. I wanted the company to be a company led by J. And so that was a very distinct and strategic branding decision when we started the company, Convince and Convert, and that's why it's not called J. Bear. But when I started to speak more and write more and things like that, I did need to have sort of my own brand out there as well. So I started that about 8 years ago. And then you're right, as time has gone on, I have put more emphasis on my brand, although the Convince and Convert brand is super important. And we spend actually, from an effort and money standpoint, we spend far more money on the Convince and Convert brand for a number of reasons we can talk about later. But where we really started to accelerate that, DP, is that when the things that I speak about and write about started to diverge in some ways from the things that we consult about. And at that point, I needed to kind of have two different cars to drive. Now, in most organizations, most professional service firms, consultancies, et cetera, led by a CEO or a founder like myself, the things that they talk about are the things that they consult about. And that used to be my reality as well. But over time, I got interested in other topics. Like, we do some word of mouth consulting, for sure. But that's not our stock in trade. We're not doing tons of word of mouth projects, just a few. And so I had to kind of have a separate personal brand for me that was not fully entangled into the corporate brand.
Well, I think you just took us through a great reasoning path, if you will, for why you've done what you've done. Because the thing I run across a lot of time is, especially, let's call them new entrepreneurial spirits who are getting out there and maybe thinking about turning a side hustle into a main hustle and stuff like that. They're like, well, do I have to have a company name, or should I be presenting myself as that brand moving forward? And you just took us through kind of a mini masterclass on why you might want to go a slightly different way. For example, again, speaking only personally, after working in ad agencies for, you know, close to 30 years, I decided I didn't want an ad agency. I don't want to grow an ad agency. I don't want to have a digital services firm or anything like that. I don't want to take on other people's families and their problems and all that stuff. I want to do my own thing. So for me, the answer is get out from behind a brand name that is not your name and own your name like crazy.
Yes.
Other people like yourself have thought it through differently. And I think that's the main point, which is you have to think it through strategically. What are your goals? In your case, you know, you wanted to build a company and you did, and now you're stepping not out from the company.
No, not at all.
But increasing your breadth of what you can offer and talk about. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as a service line, right? So you can buy Convince and Convert without buying J. Bear, and you can buy J. Bear without buying Convince and Convert. So the same way that you would think about any kind of product or service is sort of how we think about it. And in some cases, you can buy them together, depending on the circumstances. So the other thing that's true in my world is that our strategy team at Convince and Convert, who does all the work that we do for big companies, five of them also speak professionally. Not with the same degree of consistency or velocity that I do, but there's five other people on my team who are out there on the speaking circuit at some level. And so they've all kind of work in the same trap line that I'm working, right? So we have Convince and Convert, which is the thing we work on together, and they have their own personal brands as well and their own websites and their own marketing programs for their own career. So it's an interesting program. And sometimes it does get a little bit confusing, even for me to keep it straight in my own head. In fact, it's funny we're having this conversation today. I literally had a meeting earlier this afternoon with our community manager who handles the social media and sort of the hype for the company and for me. And we kind of went through a whole new social media plan about what we're going to post on what days and what channels. And then the question is, okay, does this go on the Convince and Convert Instagram account or the Jay Bear Instagram account or both? And had to go through that whole thing, right? In fine tooth comb, like, you know, literally a spreadsheet to kind of keep it straight. And what I'm trying to do is avoid confusing people. I don't know if I have been very successful in that. And also it tends to vacillate back and forth how much I emphasize the company versus myself. And as you said, I don't think there's a right answer here. It's partially driven by what do you think you might want to do in the future. As you said, you knew you didn't want to build a thing to sell. And so putting your name on it was not going to inhibit your flexibility at any point. Whereas because I've sold an agency before, my thesis is build it so you can sell it, even if you don't think you want to sell it, because why eliminate the option?
Well, that's an excellent point, because if you paint yourself into a corner, it's really hard to get out of that corner.
Well, you got to change the name. You got to change the name at some point, and that can get a little confusing for people. Yeah.
Right. So consequently, all the brand value that you've accrued over time dissipates with a name change.
Yes.
Let's face it. If everybody knows you as Convince and Convert, and all of a sudden you call yourself something totally different, all that goodwill generated for Convince and Convert.
Yeah, but to tell you, maybe I've never told this story. Maybe I have. I don't know. Probably not. It's usually not relevant, but I think you'll appreciate it because of the nature of your show. You know why it's called Convince and Convert?
Why?
Because when I started the company in 2008, I had sold a previous firm and I was on my earnout, and then I was quote unquote free and I knew I wanted to start something else. My original idea was to start a conversion rate optimization consultancy. Which is why it's called Convince and Convert. And I started a blog. I had written a lot of magazine articles and such, but never blogged before then. So I started this blog in 2008 and started writing a bunch of blog posts. I wrote one every day. And I found very, very quickly that every blog post I wrote about conversion rate optimization, nobody cared at all. And every post I wrote about social media, lots of people cared. And so I said, well, now we are going to be a social media consultancy, but we never changed the name. So that's why it's called that.
But the name still works because social media.
It does,
media,
thankfully.
Yeah, social media is a tool set, and it's a tool set used by a lot of people who want to convince people of something and ideally something. Convert them to something.
Yes.
Right. Some type of action, et cetera.
Although my Google alerts do turn up a lot of very strange, like ecclesiastical sort of references, you know, to convincing and converting the flock and things like that. So I get some hardcore religious Google search results back on from time to time, which can be a little bit mysterious.
Makes sense, I guess, given the keyword of conversion, I suppose.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Bestselling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Hanley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way. Well, one of the things that I really love about what you do on social media is that you give and give and give and give and give. Like, I listen regularly to Standing Ovation, your podcast.
Thank you.
The Talk Trigger Show is one that I check out every once in a while. Social Pros podcast is not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but it's certainly in the wheelhouse of a lot of the people who listen to this podcast. So
definitely our biggest show.
Yeah, I recommend all three of them. Thanks. I mean, if anything else, just see how a real pro does his podcast.
We have a new show coming up. Can I tell you about it? You're the first
person. Yeah, yeah. What?
Literally nobody knows about this in the whole world, like not even my wife.
It's an exclusive.
It is an exclusive. It's going to be short run, probably 12 episodes to start. We may expand it. But we just signed a deal to do a program with Wix, the global kind of web hosting creative services platform called Bold Creators. And it's going to be an interview show, not dissimilar from Standing Ovation, where I interview professional speakers. But in this show, I'm going to interview principals of highly creative leading web design firms about, and not necessarily Wix customers, about just how they got there, how they sort of navigate the crazy waters of the web design business. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be fun.
Well, that sounds very cool, especially for anybody in that neck of the woods. Have you always been a talker? I mean, obviously, a lot of what you're doing yeah. with the podcast and speaking is all based on the fact that you like to get up there and share.
Yeah. You know, my dad was loquacious. My mom, for sure. She was an English teacher. My aunt was a trainer and workshop presenter. So she was as close to a professional speaker as you could probably have in our family. I was a DJ in college, even in high school, even when I was like a sophomore, right? So I wasn't an upperclassman. They would say, well, we're going to have a pep assembly for the football game. We need somebody to introduce the players. Jay will do it. He's not scared of the microphone. So I was just, I never thought it was a business until very, very late. One of the things that very much sets me apart from other people in the Speaking Hall of Fame, almost everybody in that body, is that I never gave a paid presentation until I was 40 years old.
Wow.
And most people who are you know, sort of speakers in that group started when they were 18, 21, 25, you know, 26, that kind of thing. And so I was never scared of talking or of the microphone, but I never thought it could be a business until much later. I was, however, and this may not surprise you, both because of my love of the microphone and my crazy suits, I was named in high school most likely to be a game show host. And I feel like I've almost got there. I will say this. I have mentioned this on a show in the past, and I think you'll appreciate this as well. I love my job. I would probably do it for free. Glad I don't have to, but I probably would. The only job I want more than this job is Drew Carey's job. If Drew Carey ever gets sick of hosting The Price is Right, like I'm quitting this company. I'm out. I'm going to do that. That's my dream job.
Well, you certainly have that personality. You can get an audience roused up and ready to go and cheering by the end of it. That's for sure. Now, do I have this right? I'm looking at your LinkedIn page and it says you're in Bloomington, Indiana.
Correct.
Wait a minute. Bloomington, Indiana. And this is where I like to underline things for podcast listeners. Bloomington, Indiana is southwest of Indianapolis. It's northwest of Louisville, Kentucky. It is pretty much due west of Cincinnati. In other words, it's in the middle of nowhere.
It is true.
And yet you have a firm that is serving Fortune 500 companies. I believe on your website, you're talking about having worked with a bunch of the Fortune 500, over 700 companies since 1994, including Caterpillar, Nike, the United Nations, and 36 of the Fortune 500. How do you do that? And I'm asking for my audience here. If you are not in one of the global media centers like New York, Chicago, LA.
Yeah, people are always surprised by that. I guess, and we have been all virtual in my firm since the beginning. So we started in 2008 and have been work from home and virtual since then. And I got to tell you, in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, it was a little bit of a struggle, not from a business standpoint, we did fine, but that whole idea of, wait, so you're telling me that you guys don't have an office, and not only will we work from home and virtual, we wouldn't go see clients as a high dollar strategy firm, right? As sort of McKinsey, but fun. Our rule was, we will not see you. And they're like, well, you're not going to come fly out to present your findings. I'm like, nope, you can get a GoToMeeting account or a WebEx account or whatever. And we actually lost a couple of jobs based on that. I was like, look, man, life's too short to be traveling around just for a meeting. You want to travel around and write me a big check to give a speech? We can talk. But just to go sit in somebody's conference room, like, nah, man, I'm not into it. And so we stuck to our guns and the whole world ended up coming our direction, especially now with the pandemic. So I felt like we were way ahead of the curve on that. The good news is that I've got a really smart team and they are located wherever. So we do have a couple of people in New York, in Portland, in Seattle, in Dallas, and all over the place. But fact remains the same. We rarely see clients. The reality is that it doesn't matter. Like, nobody cares. The work is good and clients are happy. And if you give people what they want and then some, and you do it in a way that they can afford and you do some extra things that they will remember, you could live in a dirt hole, especially in this day and age. And I live here for a reason. I moved here 10 years ago, almost exactly. And it's because when I started to travel all the time, every week for speaking, I was like, I should be in the middle because it would be easier to travel around if I was in the middle. I moved from Arizona, from Flagstaff, Arizona, actually, which was a beautiful town, but hard to get in and out of, mountain town, bad air service, all that. So we should be in the middle. I'm only an hour to the Indianapolis airport and I can drive to lots of places here in the Midwest. It's an hour 45 to New York. It's an hour and a half to Orlando. It's 3 hours to Vegas. I can get everywhere pretty easily. And it's been great. I just prefer a college town environment. I don't need all the hassle of a big city and I don't want it. So I don't have it.
Oh my God, you're speaking my language, which is, you know, one of the drinking games we play on the show is whenever I say know who you are so you can be it, you have to drink. So you clearly know who you are being it in a way that allows you to build a very successful company that can live without you, and also a very successful personal brand that is introducing you to people all over the United States and even the world, right?
Oh, absolutely. I travel quite a bit outside the US, or used to, for presentations and such. Look, DP, here's the thing, man. The most important word in personal branding is not yes, it is no. The worst way to go about personal branding is to do too many things just okay, right? Pick the one or two social networks that you like, be great at those. Don't be afraid to tell clients or collaborators no if it's not perfect for you. The corollary to that is the reason why most people are not very good at personal branding is because they just don't have enough patience. They want it to happen immediately, right? It took me 30 years to become an overnight success. And when you don't have patience, you say yes more often than you should. And all that does is diffuse your personal brand. And you think it's creating opportunities. And in the short term, it may be. But in the long term, it actually moves you further away from your goal. So you got to be able to say, look, I know what I am and what I'm not. And I'm going to stick inside that box, even if that means me turning away for some things that I could probably fit in the box if I just expanded this corner of the box. But ultimately, that's probably at your own peril in terms of understanding what you're really about.
Do you hear that, nonfiction branders? He is speaking my language and the language of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Jay, I'm so excited to have you on this podcast. And we're going to also have you on next week's episode, which frankly, we're going to be continue talking for the rest of the hour.
I was going to say, do I have to change suits?
No.
Okay, well, I could do
maybe.
That.
I'm sure you've got several behind you.
I can tell you about that.
But what I want to do is invite you to tell people how they can connect with you, or where would you like to direct them? Obviously, your new book, Talk Triggers, is a really fantastic place to start.
Yeah, and Talk Triggers is really about branding through word of mouth. So it's a good opportunity for folks. TalkTriggers.com has a ton of free resources, by the way. You can find me in all the different social medias, Jay Baer, J-A-Y-B-A-E-R. The website, jaybaer.com. And our main site, which has 3,000 articles for business owners and managers and marketers, plus all the podcasts, is convinceandconvert.com.
Well, there you go. Jay Baer is the real deal and someone I highly recommend. So please connect with him. And if you can ever see him speak, I will guarantee you that you will walk out of there having learned something, if not learned about 15 things, and be super excited to actually get off your butt and do something about it. So thanks to Jay Baer for being on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'm DP Knuton, and he is
Jay Baer.
And we'll be talking at you next week. Bye-bye.